The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have Cam Jordan joining us on the program later. He's going to talk to us about defending against Brady, defending against Mahomes, and who he thinks will win the Super Bowl. But we start with the Los Angeles Lakers in Atlanta to play the Hawks. It took a couple big buckets from LeBron late to get them there, but they beat the Hawks pretty handily. Jalen, what have you noticed from this road trip that the Lakers have been on?
That LeBron James is extremely dominant, and he doesn't take nights off. And that's really impressive to me, whether they're playing against Cleveland, whether they're playing against the Hawks. The oldest, best player in the league isn't supposed to be this dominant from a night-to-night basis playing against other professionals. And he is. And LeBron James' game, Jacoby, has actually gotten better. He's become a knockdown jump shooter. Do you realize how much that opened up his game? So many years I saw people go under the pick and roll on LeBron, back off of him like he was Giannis. Now all of a sudden you got to pick up on him. And now that's opening up his driving lanes. So now you see LeBron James driving to the bucket. You like, he getting layups and dunks again because he's actually able to make shots from the perimeter.
That's a really good point. And do you remember when you and I were talking about the short offseason and how LeBron was going to take a bunch of games off and really get himself, you know, rested for the playoffs? That ain't happening. He's like, you know what? I might mess around and be the MVP this year. But Jalen, I've been watching a lot of these Lakers games and I have to notice something. Anthony Davis isn't what we expected from Anthony Davis this year. He was blowing up in the playoffs, but had a couple funky games. Like, take last night, for example, 25 points. That's great. Two rebounds, Jalen. Two rebounds for Anthony Davis. Why has he performed well, but not exactly quite to some of the expectations we had coming into the season?
So, you talked about LeBron James and how he brings it on a nightly basis. He understands in the regular season there's still things that he wants to get accomplished. And that could be being the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Continue to climb the list of top assist players in the game. For Anthony Davis now, it's almost championship or bust. He entered a different realm, Jacoby. When he was with the Pelicans, it was about getting to the playoffs, seeing if I can advance, becoming one of the best players in the game, seeing if I can be a top five player. Leaving to join the Lakers, it's can I team up with LeBron James with a story franchise and actually win it all? Yep. Now that they won it all, I need to see Anthony Davis still playing like that dominant top five player. And two rebounds? Two rebounds? I believe he's also dealt with some injuries. He's dealt with some injuries, Jacoby, so we got to cut him some slack. Mm-hmm. And also, they have so much depth that he don't have to score 30 and get 15 boards on a nightly basis. But don't worry about his performance. He's going to be there when they need him. They're still the clear-cut number one, number two, number three favorites to win the championship, and it's going to fall on the shoulders of LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Well, we talked about their performance last night, but it was the performance of a couple at courtside that got all the attention after this one. By now, you know the story. Chris and Juliana Carlos, a married couple, were sitting courtside, one of about approximately 8,000 fans they're allowed to watch. Chris says something to LeBron, LeBron says something back, and then Chris's wife Juliana starts getting into it with LeBron and gets kicked out of the game. Big shout to LeBron for saying later that he does not believe it was warranted that they were kicked out of the game. But Jalen, what do you think about this interaction between LeBron and the fans sitting courtside?
You know, as a native Detroiter, the Bay Area and Atlanta are our cousins. And just shout to Atlanta for being open, for having fans at the game sitting front row. It just made me feel good to try to get back to some sense of normalcy. With that being said, during the pandemic, I got exposed to a lot of different words that I weren't using before the pandemic. One of them that comes to mind is like entanglement. I wasn't necessarily using that word. It wasn't a part of my vocabulary. Physically distancing. You know, I'm a give dap, give hug type of guy.
Big hugger, big hugger.
And then the other one is caring. Whether somebody's bird watching in New York City, you know, whether somebody's accusing somebody else from stealing their cell phone, these Real Housewives of Atlanta sitting front row trying to heckle LeBron James for camera time for 15 minutes of fame, and you know what? We just gave it to her.
We just gave it to her. Shout to her. Shout to her. Just a 25-year-old young woman out there watching the basketball game. So we are moving on to a team no one expected to be performing as well as they are right now, and that is the Houston Rockets, who just... Russell Westbrook's not on the team anymore, and James Harden's not on the team anymore. Well, guess what? 6 games in a row, 7 of 10, the latest came against the Thunder last night. What have they done to be so successful the last couple weeks?
So, dog, here's what we gonna do. I wanna make sure everybody can see and hear what up my voice.
Okay.
We gonna put some respect on Steven Silas' name.
Mmm.
That's what we gonna do. Because usually teams in one off season that lose their general manager, who many consider one of the, if not the best in the league in Daryl Morey, their head coach, who many believe helped usher in the 7 seconds or less pacer space that we see in today's NBA and Mike D'Antoni, and a top 5 player in James Harden, who's led the league in total points and total assists. And you telling me that they hit 28 threes? You notice that we ain't talking about no gimmick with his name. They still knocking down the three, though.
48 right? points in the first quarter. 48
right?
in the
they
first
still
quarter.
Knocking. And shout to John Wall. Boogie Cousins made 5 threes. You know how much I like Christian Wood. Great to see Eric Gordon out there playing and competing. This is the classic way that you trade a superstar and not tank.
Jalen,
and
here's the
you can do that when you have a head coach like Steven Silas, who came right in and navigating magnificently with the Houston Rockets.
Here's the thought that I had watching this game and watching them the last week. I think the Rockets are better off as a franchise right now, this moment, than they were a year ago today. And they had D'Antoni and Morey and 2 former MVPs in Westbrook and Harden. But right now, they've got Wall locked in. They've got Oladipo on expiring. They can see how that works out. They got Christian Wood locked up. And then they've got P.J. Tucker, who they might keep and might move, but he's playing well. He's great on defense. We know how valuable he is in the playoffs. Like, and a ton of picks. Like, I think they've done a really good job of playing the cards that they have been dealt and getting the most out of a difficult situation. Because we were talking about the Rockets a couple months ago. We were talking about James Harden at the club. And we were talking about James Harden not scoring 20 points. And now they're playing well.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes people get attached to gimmicks. So if it was Mike D'Antoni coaching and it was Daryl Morey GMing, we'd be like, oh, their style of play is something like we ain't never seen before in life. It's so outstanding. It's so game-changing. But when Steven Silas' team make 28 threes, I hear crickets, except on Jalen and Jacoby, because I'm actually watching the basketball game. And what he's done with them is their defense. It's their defense. It's their defense.
Oh,
John
Jaylen.
Wall's defense. Tucker, it's their defense.
Third in defensive rating in the entire league right now. I was watching the game yesterday, and I was like, they got 48 points. It must be the end of the half. End of the first quarter. Who is joining us next on Jalen and Jacoby? Cam.
Oh, Cam.
It is that man who's about to sack your guy, Matt Stafford. Cam
no,
Jordan
don't do that,
of
Cam.
The Saints joins us
what you
next
doing, dog?
On a very special Jalen and Jacoby Super Bowl week. Let's go.
Lift every voice and sing In 2016, Colin Kaepernick decided to kneel during the national anthem in peaceful protest of police brutality and racial injustice. Although he hasn't played in the NFL since that season, Kaepernick has become a leading civil rights activist, raising awareness and millions of dollars for underserved communities across the country.
Coming to you live from Pier 17, the South Street Seaport, and brought to you by Heineken. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I've been saying this for the longest time. You can always tell when athletes are in the league whether or not they're going to be good after their athletic career in the media. And our next guest is one of those athletes. Cam Jordan, that man right there of the New Orleans Saints, joins us on behalf of Body Armor. Cam, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Super Bowl week.
Hey, appreciate you for having me on. I mean, it's Super Bowl week, but I'm just doing this from the couch, you know? I thought I'd be in exactly. Tampa Bay about to play, but here I am, you know, 2 weeks out of my last game. What do you got?
Well, super excited. You played Tampa Bay three times this season, could not get it done in the playoffs. What is the Chiefs defense looking at in terms of how difficult it is to stop the weapons on this Tampa Bay team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all knew about the Tampa Bay team early on. I mean, you talk about preseason, they were all the hype. Tom Brady goes down to the Buccaneers. It's Tampa Brady. It's, you know, Tampa Brady, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, we've got Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans. You look at the roster and they're stacked. Leonard Fournette, I've been hearing. I mean, their defense are ballers throughout the entire front seven, from JPP to Shaq Barrett to Ndamukong and Vita Vea. I still can't say that one right. So no disrespect to the big homie, but you know, he's a big plugger in the middle. They've got to you know, be able to slow down Tom Brady and eliminate some of his check downs, some of his quick throws. If you could do that and get to the quarterback and start to piss him off, you can see real success there. Sort of like Philly had, what, three Super Bowls ago?
Yes, Tom Brady is considered the GOAT, and many feel like Patrick Mahomes got next. Can you describe what it's like, similarities and differences, going against both of those players at quarterback?
What similarities do you have other than they're both poised to win? I mean, the differences are completely, opposite. Mahomes loves to lead the pocket. He's going to make those exciting, you know, over the shoulder. He's made left-hand throws. I mean, his offense does anything and everything to put points on the board. Where you have, you know, Tom Brady, who has the one of the fastest throws in the game. He's able to dissect defenses immediately, quickly, and often. But he lives by intermediate and check down routes. You know, he's meticulous in how he's able to go about operating his offense. But Mahomes is electric, is a playmaker, and he has arguably the fastest player in the NFL, in Tyreek Hill. You've got the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce. Then, of course, you add in Mecole, as well as, you know, the myriad of wide receivers that they have that can make those big plays.
Well, you've already mentioned all the weapons that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had. You just listed all of the ones the Chiefs had. But when you compare those two groups, when you look at who these quarterbacks have to hand the ball to and throw the ball to, who do you think has a better supporting cast between these two teams facing off on Sunday?
Man, you talking about Jones and Fournette in the backfield? Better supporting cast. This is tough. They got Sammy Watkins. Let's not even disrespect Sammy Watkins. They've got a lot of different cats. I don't know who you say is more talented on this roster. I might say slight edge to the Bucks because of Mike Evans.
Mm. Cam, I'm a huge fan of yours on and off the field. I can hear the hurt in your voice from this season.
I'm a little petty.
So please talk to me about, like, how the Saints are dealing with the disappointment of being so very close these last few years. And like you said, you're watching the Super Bowl this week.
Man, it's a little bit easier to process this year because you know what it takes to be geared back up and try and fight to be back in the playoffs. And at the same time, it hurts that much more knowing that you're not in the playoffs, knowing that you have you had the potential to be to make a Super Bowl run the way we did. We had an elite locker room. To not end in the Super Bowl for us is a bust. To not be able to say that, you know, we beat a team that we squashed in the, you know, in regular season for a third time, that's something that we have to deal with. These are things that we have to, I would say, process and make sure it doesn't happen again next year. I mean, if we have to defeat an in-division opponent three or four times, it shouldn't matter. We should be able to beat them each and every time we take the field. So that's something that we have to take to heart and come back next year better.
Absolutely. And that Saints defense that you are a part of was one of the best units in the entire league. But there is some questions that still are going to be asked of the offense, the other side of the ball. The future of the quarterback position with Drew Brees likely on the way out. How do you see the future of that position for your team moving forward?
You know, I've never had to worry about answering that question, honestly. If I do have to answer this question, you know, if Drew does go ahead and retire, and that's entirely on Drew and, you know, going back to his family and making his family decision, the best possible decision for him. If we have to, you know, go ahead and move on, we have Jameis Winston in building, you know, or had him. So we had a full year to see if he can acclimate to our offense, which I think he can, knowing that, you know, with limited time that he was shown, he made some deep balls, he made some impressive throws, and really looked like a quarterback that we could get behind. And at the same time, you know, there's always a possibility of an offseason addition if Drew decides to step down. I'm going to keep saying if, because until he does, I've never had to worry about it for the last decade.
Cam, you addressed the elephant in the room at quarterback, because on the outside looking in, I always felt like Jameis, if given the opportunity, would have fit really well with you guys' offense. But Taysom Hill got the snaps when Drew Brees wasn't available. And when we brought this conversation up, you mentioned Jameis, but you didn't mention Taysom. Do you think he can be the future at quarterback?
I'm gonna rely on my knowledge of who I am as a person and say this is beyond my pay grade. But that being said, I do know Jameis is thrown for 5,000 yards. Jameis has, you know, been the leader of a team for, you know, 5 years over at Tampa Bay. So I'm just saying, in terms of leadership value, you know what you're getting out of Jameis. Taysom for sure stepped in and played a pivotal role for us in terms of how we were trying to go through the season. And given the opportunity, I think he did what was needed to be done to win these games. So if the organization says, hey, Taysom's our guy, then we'll be able to fully support that decision. I'm just simply saying we know who's proven in terms of how many yards he could throw, how he can make our offense a better deep threat in terms of the long run.
Well, of course, we appreciate you showing up and joining us on Jalen Jacoby. You're welcome to join us anytime. And you have a partnership with Body Armor that I know you're proud of, and it's a product that we enjoy. But we're not going to let you go without telling us who you think is going to win on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to rely on, you know, knowing that, you know, I work hard in the offseason, that I put forth my best effort every time we take to the field, that I care more about what's going into my body than and what takes care of my body, knowing that Body Armor is elite at doing what they do with superior hydration. Before I answer this question about the Super Bowl, you know, it'd be remiss to not mention about, you know, how it has the natural flavors and sweeteners in it. You know, there's no additives to it. It's, you know, coconut water based, delicious. You know, I talk about this orange clementine just because it is my favorite flavor. I mean, they've got berry punch. That's probably a strong second, but there's, you know, for better hydration, it's what I stick to, Body Armor.
Keep getting them checks. No doubt about it. But who gonna win the Super Bowl? Who gonna win the Super Bowl?
Whew. So it's probably gonna be a red team. I can promise you that.
He's not gonna say. He's not gonna say. Come on, Cam. You know you got a media gig after you're done playing on the field.
All right. If I have to, like, really put my hat on a team that's gonna win, it's probably gonna be with the quarterback who has probably won the Super Bowl before.
Oh, man. What about the one that won six times? How about that?
Well, you've got one of the greatest postseason players of all time meeting one of the most electric players of all time at the quarterback position. So I'm probably going to push electric just because my dog Alex Okafor is on the team. If I had to reside one, you know, I'm going to say my guy gets a second ring along
Well, we appreciate you joining the show, and we look forward to watching you be electric on the field next year, and you're welcome to come back on Jalen Jacoby anytime, and everyone stick around. We have much more for you on Jalen and Jacoby.
I much appreciate it. God bless.
Another great Wednesday night doubleheader on ESPN, starting with Eastern Conference foes, the Pacers against the Bucks, and then in the nightcap, we have the Suns taking on the Pelicans. Those are both on ESPN on Wednesday night. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Neymar said something that I think you can relate to. Here was his philosophy about partying and being an athlete. He said the following. You know what? If you stay 100% with your head focused on just playing football, in my opinion, you end up exploding. It's my time to relax, to be calm. I will never stop doing it. Jalen, he is making a case of why it's great to party while you're a professional athlete. You completely disagree with that philosophy, right?
I totally agree. Champagne in a campaign is the ultimate balance of life. Certain players, Jacoby, can't go to bed before 11 o'clock and ball the next day. Certain players have to be out when the sun comes up in order to put in work the next day.
I wish I knew you when you were in the league. We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m. Thank you so much to Cam Jordan. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is doing podcast exclusive content. Now, Jalen, I want to talk a little bit about Juliana Carlos, who has been dubbed courtside Karen by LeBron James. Now, I watched LeBron's post-game interview about it, and I want to give him a big shout for handling it the way he has, because he's so good when he's speaking to the media, because he mentioned two things that I love. Number one, he's like, I don't think that warranted an ejection. Number two, he said he likes going back and forth with the fans. And number three, he said maybe they had some drinks. Come to find out, Chris Carlos, the gentleman who was with Juliana Carlos, a liquor distributor. I might have done some research into the Instagram accounts of these people, mainly Juliana's. There's oftentimes a beverage in their hand. I don't know if they had any adult beverages last night while they were at the game, but they were certainly behaving that way. But I'm going to do something that you're not going to be happy with, Jalen.
Uh-oh.
I kind of like that she physically threatened LeBron James for talking to her husband. I kind of like that. The greatest athlete walking the planet. And she's just like, I'm going to mess you up. Don't talk to my husband that way.
So, I judge trash talk different depending on where it takes place. So as a fan at the game, to me, that gives you the license to cheer, jeer, and pretty much say whatever as long as it's not volatile or like personal across the line. Like to me, I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up playing basketball in the Detroit public school system. And the crowds, when I was in high school, looked like me. When I got to college, they looked more like you. Same in the pros. They're more predominantly white. And so the way I started hooping and playing street ball, the dudes that was actually yelling at you from the stands, you probably shouldn't yell back, because I might be really good at the game, but I might have to see them in the streets and they'll rush you, beat you down. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times you actually have to play and shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm on a roll.
Shut up and dribble for a whole different reason.
No doubt. When I'm at Cooley, okay, on Finkel, and anybody that's from the city know what I'm talking about, like, this is a hostile environment to get out of. Like so many times, like you get your bus tipped over, you get like, I can go on and on and on and on. So as we get to the league and LeBron James, professional basketball player. What he said in the post game and actually how he handled it were vastly different. I know all of what took place, dog. And yes, he handled it properly at the podium, but I can't front. During the game, he had little rabbit ears. He had rabbit ears, dog.
Well, some guys did a couple things. Number one, thing that has to be brought up is I think it's different if there's 30,000 people in the arena and you're one of the thousands of voices calling out to LeBron James. But when there's 8,000 people and there's probably, I don't know, 24 people courtside, and he's within your vicinity, and you say something specific and insulting to him that only could come from you, I think it's different. It's almost like talking to somebody in a conference room. Like, you're not in an arena anymore. You're not just one of the thousands of voices talking to LeBron James. It's like more personal and more disrespectful. However, I don't know what was said between them, but I was surprised at Juliana's recounting of what he said to her. I was surprised by that. I don't know if that's what he said, but when she said that, I was like, oh, did LeBron really say that to her?
Respectfully, there was a basketball game, and I'm not like, this happened during an NBA game, so I don't feel like guilty recounting, re-acknowledging that this took place. But there was a game at Cleveland when LeBron James was on the baseline and got into the altercation with the Celtics, and his mom jumped up and he wasn't happy with her. And so if what he said to her, if he could say that to his mom, I'm pretty sure he could say that to courtside Karen. Is that fair?
Probably. I wonder at what point did he come up with the nickname courtside Karen and be like, I got to tweet this. He just had to. Someone else said it. He plagiarized that.
He got that from somebody else.
Yeah, it was Trez. Trez made the joke, and then he jerked out his phone and then did it.
Well, here's the thing.
Yep.
Good point, Rez DeLez. She probably wouldn't have said it if Savannah was at the game. That's a good point. But here's the thing, Jacoby. If he would have thought of that himself, he would have said it at the post-game conference. That's my point.
Yeah.
The energy that he gave at the... So it's three different energies that LeBron gave. He gave the on-the-court competitive energy that, to be honest, if you didn't want her to get ejected, then you didn't have to respond the way you responded. How about that?
Well, he responded... According to this, what happened, he responded to the gentleman, Chris Carlos... And then she was basically like, don't talk to my husband that way. How do you feel about your wife taking up for you like that? I could go either way with it. How do you feel about it?
Was she really taking up for him? See, this is what I learned in life. I don't go by what people say. I go by what they do. And guess what? LeBron James poses 0% threat to them.
Either of them. He's not gonna Marcus Smart at Oklahoma. Yeah.
And so I can't really give her defending or taking up for when it's LeBron James who's not gonna do anything.
In uniform,
in uniform,
35 cameras. Referees, security guards.
Come on. Their lives were not in danger in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So I am not giving her the taking up thing. The bottom line is, and I'm going to be frank with you, the Kardashians, and there's a reason why they're billionaires. But also that door is closed in a lot of ways. They ushered in a new generation of people that aren't talented, that want to do things to try to get 15 minutes of fame. That's a fact. And so she's a member of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So now, what do you think the people that produce her after yesterday?
Don't you dare disrespect the actual Real Housewives of Atlanta like that, okay? Because they are queens. I watch every week. And Juliana Carlos can't hold a candle to the greats like Sheree, Candy, and the rest of the gang. The Real Housewives of Atlanta look a lot more like you than they do me. Let's just say that.
Well, first off, to me, you can't be on a show called Housewives when you ain't never been married. That's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking. How can somebody get on a show that's never been married that's called Housewives?
Listen, I would love nothing more than talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta for the next half an hour with you, but I'm a guess that you've never seen a single segment of an episode of that program in your entire life.
I was trying to think of her name, but Nene? I did To Tell the Truth with Nene. Yeah, Nene Leakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got love for her.
I love Nene. I love Nene. Candy's my favorite. They're great. They're great.
I've never watched an episode, but here's the point I'm trying to make. People that are on that show that have never been married. So when she had her altercation with LeBron James, when she looked down at her phone, Jacoby, what was her manager, her agent, her producer?
She's not.
What were they saying?
She's not on the show. She's not on Real Housewives, Jay. She's not.
Oh, she's not on the show?
She's not on the show. No, no, no. It's an all-black cast now. Kim Zolciak broke the color barrier early on, but then she's off the show. It is all-black cast. Last episode, they went to South Carolina. Things got out of hand. There was a lot of alcohol involved. There were some things said. There's an alleged assault allegation. A lot of twerking. It was a great program. Me and my wife watched that. Because you know how I know? Because me and my wife wanted to watch it, and I was watching the ends of the Nets-Wizards game. And my wife looks up at it. So, you know, remember the end of that game? It was close. My wife's like, what's up with Housewives? And I was like, give me a second. Like, who knows what could happen? And she looked at the score. Straight up. My wife is not an NBA analyst. She looks at the score. She goes, why they got so many points?
It was like 148
to 147. She's like, why they got so many points? I'm like, it's Nets basketball, baby. This is Brooklyn Nets basketball.
And Jacoby, again, I want to make sure I continue to make this point. The Houston Rockets made 28 three-pointers. If Mike D'Antoni was their coach and Daryl Morey was their GM, people who talk about sports for a living will be given their style and their innovation so much credit today.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the word that Mike D'Antoni never used? Defense. So the Houston Rockets, like you taught me, are one of the top defensive teams in the league.
Third in defensive rating.
Plus, they actually make shots from three-point range. So that means mm-hmm. you can do more than one thing. And so Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash now doing that with the Nets, Joey is exactly right. If teams are scoring 130 and 140, all of a sudden, Russ can start feeling good about himself. That's the best game Russ needed that.
I think he had 41.
Russ psychologically.
Oh, he needed that.
Oh,
yeah, because Russ is,
they were like 2-11 with him this year.
Well, you remember right before the bubble, Russ was like the best player in the NBA for like not just like a week. He wasn't player of the week, player of the month. It was like 6 weeks. Russ was tearing it up after the Capella trade, and then the bubbles kind of switched everything, and he had some off court, like can't go to the, I think he had COVID. I don't know if he tested positive, if that's out there, whatever, but he missed some games, just never really found himself again down there. But man, he started off slow and inefficent this year, and he had a big game there.
He needed that.
I was looking at the Rockets. I was like, something feels different about these Rockets. Fourth in the league in pace. Fourth in pace. And I was like, oh, this does feel different. John Wall's not just going to get the ball, walk it up, dribble between his legs one way, switch feet, dribble between his legs the other way, switch feet again, and then take a step back, eat a bunch of clock. Like, Oladipo and Wall are making quick decisions, and their offense, they get into their offense much quicker. And again, and when there's so much points being scored in the NBA, I really like the way that these Rockets are playing basketball right now.
The only way you could truly have elite pace in the NBA, and I say the NBA because you can do this in high school and college, but in the NBA you need the two anchors. You said one, a fast backcourt, not just one person.
I know what you're gonna say.
Backcourt, and then the other thing, a big that can change ends.
And well, I'll go the other way too. Is also like, you know who can't change ends? Jokic. But you know what he can do? He can outlet the ball 40 feet, and he can outlet the ball 60 feet, and just get it going that way. You know.
And Christian Wood, if you look at his body type, he's the perfect player that shows the difference in the game between the 90s and the 2000s. Because that body type would never be a power forward or a center in the NBA. His chest is like Quincy's. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. And so, because he can change ends of the floor and that backcourt is so fast, Steven Silas is doing a terrific job with that squad. And they got all of those picks for James Harden coming in the future.
Well, that's one thing I want to say is, if you look at what they had two MVPs, and they had no picks. They were giving all their picks out, but they move Harden, and they decide, I really believe that they decided to go the Oladipo plus a bunch of picks route instead of the Simmons-Thybulle. Simmons-Thybulle are win now players. Like, we can talk about Simmons not shooting or whatever for the rest of our lives. Oh, this is when Jalen's giving me the 20-second timeout, which is a polite way of interrupting me, but I accept it. Go, Mr. Rose.
I gotta ask you an important question. I need your basketball knowledge and expertise here.
Okay.
I knew I was good at the media. I knew I was good at this job when LeBron James got to the league. Because so many times people was like, I'm hating on LeBron or I don't like him, when I'm actually analyzing what I see and I'm not emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
Are Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni overrated?
Well, here's the thing. Let me answer that by using one of your sort of pet peeves. Are we just counting rings? Because I would say no. I would say they put together a contender and remixed that contender for 8 years in a row. That to me is success. I don't just count championships. You know, they missed 27 threes in a game seven, dog. Then they didn't have Chris Paul. Like, those are things you can't really control. And they were competitive, if not challenging, the top of the Western Conference for 6 out of 8 years. So to me, that is successful and not overrated.
I agree with you. But here's a caveat that I want to add to that. You're exactly right. But they didn't do it in a traditional fashion, Jacoby. They did it in the fashion of owning micro ball and owning that we're going to volume shoot the three. So it wasn't just about necessarily the wins and losses. It was about, can Russell Westbrook play center? Can PJ Tucker play center?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing things that have not been done in the NBA.
Well, let me say something, because can we just us talking, right? There's no one else listening? Just us talking here? Because those are two different individuals with two different careers in the National Basketball Association. And I remember when D'Antoni was the coach of the New York Knickerbockers. Do you remember when D'Antoni was the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? Because we always talk about he jumped right from the Suns to the Rockets. Like, he's had some years that weren't exactly the most successful as a head coach. And Daryl Morey's history, and as I understand it, was pretty much with the Rockets in this run. And what Daryl Morey has done with the 76ers this offseason, I think, is really good. Getting off the Horford contract and bringing in shooting, which they absolutely needed. So I would like to isolate those two, and I would say that I think that Mike D'Antoni is regarded as a more successful head coach than he actually is.
Well said. Well said. And you left off Denver. He coached them too.
Yeah. That was in between. He went Phoenix, Denver, New York, LA. Yeah,
exactly.
Houston. I remember the Denver years. Was that Mello Iverson in Denver?
He had five jobs. He done had five jobs.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you isolated the two. And what you're saying is accurate. Daryl Morey has proven to me to be one of the best GMs in the league. Mike D'Antoni has proven to me to be one of the best offensive coaches in the league. The thing that he did that was genius was put the ball in James Harden's hand and didn't use him as a traditional shooting guard. They used him as a primary ball handler.
Mm.
That's now helping James right now. And I've seen players who didn't shoot the three, and then all of a sudden under D'Antoni, they were shooting it. Like Carmelo, for example. And so Mike D'Antoni, however, Jacoby, we must also acknowledge that he's the ultimate one-trick pony.
He's got a basketball philosophy that he's been stuck to for about 30 years.
Because I remember I played for him and I watched him play. And I played with Steve Nash and I played with Sean Marks, their GM. So I'm looking at the game and I'm seeing something 99.9% of people don't see. Let me give you a perfect example. On a drive-by or a blow-by, he don't want you to come and foul. He wants you to let the person lay the ball up to keep the pace going. So all you got to do is beat your man and you score.
But so, like, if you're DeAndre Jordan, he will instruct DeAndre Jordan to not sort of, like, cheat away from his man when he sees a ball handler about to drive and either stop an open layup or try to take a charge or just go vertical and try to contest.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take it even further for you what he would do to DeAndre Jordan for a play like that. Take him out the game. That's why you don't see him in much.
I would say this is, I watch a lot of NBA basketball and my wife hates it. What I'm seeing now is not only that, is players will pre-help. So they're already, they're leaving their man, right? If there's some sort of pick and roll action or someone about to get past their man. And then the person who's guarding the guy in the opposite corner will then go cover that person's man that he left. And then there's that weird little, like, I'm gonna go for a layup and then try to swing it along the baseline pass is the only thing that they'll give up. So it's pretty much the opposite of what you're telling me. They would put two people out of position to try to stop somebody and protect the rim, then just say, hey, you know what? Let's just take it out of bounds and try to score again.
He's only focused on the pace. Not the fact that Jacoby just made three layups. I watched Colin Sexton. I watched Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was 2-11 this year when he played. But when you allow guys to get layups, they get a rhythm. And then all of a sudden you get a steal late in the game and you kick it to Russ. If that's in the fourth quarter against the Spurs, that might be an air ball.
Let me say something that no one's saying, Jalen. Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, you got to make that layup. Like, the whole narrative changes. It's a left-handed layup. You're wide open. You're wide open.
But you left off something, too. He might not be in the league next year. See, he in one of those positions.
Well, the Nets only have, like, nine players on their roster, so they're going to need someone to get the minimum. But yeah, they definitely doubled. There's a reason he was wide open for a layup. With like 2 seconds left because they were doubling everybody else. And they're like, you know what? If he gets the ball, we're good with it.
But Jacoby, I think when I say this, people who don't play don't truly understand what I mean.
Explain to us, because everyone who listens to this did not play in the NBA, myself included.
When people score, they feel confident about life. They point in the stands and everybody cheers me. The announcer says my name. It's a home run trot back on defense. How do you feel when you score, Jacoby? Tell the world just, how you feel when you score.
Yo, and I will veer out of my way just to get a pound from my teammates. Like my the person I'm supposed to be defending could be on the other side, but on my way back from scoring, because I don't score much, I will make sure that I have the maximum number of pounds on my way back on defense. And one thing you don't see, you know what you really don't see too often before the fourth quarter? The person that didn't get the assist or the basket fist pump when the bucket goes through.
Uh-huh.
You won't see the person who's waiting in the opposite corner just get the big fist pump because the team scored.
So, and now let me tell you what makes the game vastly different than what it used to be. We just talked about the one point and it's embodied via the Nets. And I wrote down the second thing because I didn't want to forget this term. If the Cavs are scoring, if the Wizards are scoring, you might have KD, you might have Kyrie, you might have Harden. But as long as we score, we feel good about our game.
Yeah, you make Rui Hachimura feel like KD.
Yes. When I'm sitting in the locker room, I know Michael Jordan's better in basketball than me. I know Kobe Bryant and Shaquille. I know Tim Duncan is better than me. But if I go out and I had 10 points in the first quarter, there are times you can look at a box score right now and Jaylen outscored some of your favorite best players. Because people get confidence when they're scoring. So not only do the Nets not have that in their favor, the other thing that's in today's game that does not exist is physical intimidation.
Not allowed.
There's no physical intimidation. You can't bump cutters. You can't foul shooters. You can't hard foul layups.
It's basically the Morris twins. It's the Morris twins. Like, that's it. Those are the only two in the whole league.
And so if we're gonna focus on pace and we're not gonna have physical intimidation, Joey's gonna be looking at the screen, and one team is gonna have three Hall of Famers and they got 148 points. And then you say, who missed the layup late?
Timothy Luwawu Cabarro.
My point exactly.
Well, he was wide open. I don't know if you remember the inbound play, but they were doubling everybody. Luwawu Cabarro's man was 10 feet away. He ran to the basket. And they're like, all right, I guess we got to go here. Well, here's the thing, though, Jaylen. I still have the Nets coming out of the East. Like, if you had to pick one team in the Eastern Conference that's going to be in the finals, would it be the Nets?
As I do a jackpot scramble in my mind, I am not going to get cute here. KD is coming out of the East.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, we can point, you can say, oh, well, the other team feels good and Rui Hachimura feels like KD, but in a 7-game series,
KD
when you can
coming
scheme
out of the
against
East.
The other team, I think when the coaches are so good, especially when they play the same team night after night after night after night, that like you can kind of scheme around other team strengths and weaknesses, but you can't scheme for Kyrie's handle, KD's scoring, and James Harden's just offensive effectiveness. Like, you just can't.
What are you gonna do? Punch him in the face? I love James Harden. I love his game, dog. He represents the lefties to the fullest. It's hard being a lefty out here in these basketball streets.
Who's the best lefty of all time? Who's the best lefty of all time?
Bill Russell.
I just don't see a lot of Russell tape. You know, like if I never saw you play, I didn't even like realize he was left-handed.
A lot of my favorite lefties, I love Manu Ginobili. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Long hair Ginobili was a problem, dog.
Short hair Ginobili was a problem.
I was still in the league. Ginobili, he should have won finals MVP when they beat my Pistons, I think, in 2004.
Oh, you know who's a lefty that no one talks about? LeBron James. Give him a baseball glove. Give him a pen. Watch him sign his name. Like,
right. But as you know, we're talking about playing left-handed.
No, of course.
So, how about this? There are teams in the NBA right now that don't have a left-handed player on them. Just think about that. There are NBA teams that do not have one left-handed shooter on the squad. And so when I look at the landscape of the East, I wanted to say the Bucks was gonna come out of the East, but Giannis struggled the last 3 minutes of the game now. His confidence, he gotta build it back up. He missing free throws, he missing threes. I don't think anybody this year saw, I gotta get a stat of who shot more air balls between Giannis and Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook. I don't know if you noticed, but like the Bucks defense used to be this juggernaut last year, and I thought they'd get better at defense. Adding Drew Holiday, so far, not seen it.
You know why? Because they're the opposite of the Nets. They want to be tall. They want to play big. They want Lopez in the game, and all you do is the old Shaq theory. Yeah, Shaq is the most dominant, and we ain't stopping him in the paint. But on the other end, whoever Shaq guarding, come set the screen. And that's what they doing with Lopez. Whoever he guarding, come set the screen. You reposition it, you move it, and now they going downhill. Every
I love watching him try to stay in front of guards, Duke. He's a great player. He's good at what he's good at, but he looks like a moose trying to tap dance sometimes.
Exactly. It's just like feet are looking all heavy.
Yeah. He wears size like 35 like shoes.
He I said, with Big Perk his last few years, big shout. I love you, big fella. You're doing a great job in the game. Remember I said Big Perk was running with combat boots on.
We had animation and all that. Oh, man. So fun doing the show with you, Jalen. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people time. Give the people what they want. I needed that escape.